The next, I don't know, it's 10 or 12 sheets of questions, deal primarily with economics. So just to give you a heads up. The first sheet has four separate questions on it. I'll take them one at a time, I guess. In an earlier session, I assume somebody from Eversource stated that approximately 2,400 job opportunities will be created during the project. How many will be retained after the project is complete?
So I'm going to refer this to Bob Varney, who's another expert. He's with Norman Doe. And we do differentiate in our expert analysis between construction jobs and jobs that will continue post-construction. You know, in the context of construction jobs, however, we are talking about a relatively long duration project. This is a 2 to 3 year construction window, and in that space, that's a long duration project. Many construction workers, as you know, move on a kind of monthly basis, perhaps. So Bob, can you add to this as to the differentiation?
Sure. The ongoing operation of the system would be similar to any other power line that currently exists within the state. As you know, there are transmission lines and distribution lines across New Hampshire currently, and it would be Eversource workers who would continue to maintain that system, periodic maintenance of the line, of the structures, of the vegetation, in accordance with best practices. In terms of the construction, there obviously would be a large number of jobs that would be generated during that construction process. There would be direct jobs associated with construction. There would be indirect jobs with suppliers and other services that are provided in association with that construction effort. And then there would be induced jobs and induced economic benefits associated with construction workers and delivery people and others who are purchasing meals, purchasing hotel stays and things like that throughout the regional economy. So there's a huge benefit associated with the project over 20 years, a wide range, depending on a number of factors associated with it, but it would be in the $400 to $600 million range in terms of benefit.
And Mr. Varney or Mr. Quinlan, can either of you recall what appendix of the application this information can be found in?
I don't know the exact appendix number. We'll get that to you. But if you look at the London Economics analysis, not only did they model energy production cost, they also modeled economic impacts. They quantified direct jobs, meaning construction jobs, indirect jobs, and those other jobs that Mr. Varney was just referring to that would continue on post-construction. The GDP effects, gross domestic product effects, extend well beyond project construction window. There are hundreds of millions of dollars of continued economic benefit to the state of New Hampshire that go well beyond the 2 to 3 year construction window. We'll get you the exact appendix number, but it's the London Economics Analysis.
The next question on this sheet is, why does there need to be a switch from DC to AC?
So the
that's not economics, that's engineering.
It is. So the electric grid, the New England electric grid, is an alternating current grid. At some point, you need to convert it to a compatible, essentially, source. So you convert it from direct current into alternating current. The reason we're running a direct current line is it's a more efficient way to transmit electricity. There are fewer line losses on a direct current system than there are on an alternating current. Mr. Munz, do you have something on that?
Yeah, the other reason that direct current link is required is the electric system in Canada is inherently different than the electric system down here. In Canada, it's 96% hydro-powered, which is generated by what are basically slow-moving machines. Okay, they're all big hydro turbines. They run at a relatively low speed. U.S. electric grid is largely powered by fast-moving machines that are, you know, steam-driven, combustion turbines, that type of thing. And so if you directly ran an AC line from Canada to the U.S., the systems would tend to fight each other and oscillate as they sought to operate at 60 cycles. Both systems operate at 60 cycles. So whenever you couple one of the slow-moving system like Canada, particularly Quebec, with another system, you have a DC link. That DC link can be 10 yards long. A lot of places have, along the New York border, Quebec has several sets of what they call back-to-back converters, where the converters are right next to each other, but they provide that electrical isolation between the systems. When you're going to take the power, in the case of New Hampshire, a long distance, it is also more beneficial to use a DC link. And we did look at a back-to-back converter up near the north border of New Hampshire. We looked at that situation. The only problem with that is then you end up needing to run two AC lines up there to ensure that their system reliability remains in effect. So we looked at, you know, numerous configurations and the best optimal delivery point onto the electric grid when we designed Northern Pass.
Okay, back to economics. In a prior information session, it was stated that there may be limited reduction, if any, to our electric bills, possibly up to 5%, and no concrete percentage of the use that our state would get from this project. Are there better real figures available now to state that New Hampshire will actually use or need this power, and if we will see savings of more than 5%?
So, our estimate is that there's $90 million a year of energy cost savings for New Hampshire. That is not an insignificant number. What does that equate to? If you look across every residential customer in every business across New Hampshire, it's approximately 5%. You know, the question suggests that's a modest amount. When you talk to a business owner who is a large user of electricity or a residential customer who is focused on their electric bill, having a stable bill and a reduced bill is significant. 5% is not significant to those customers, and I've spoken to hundreds of them across this state. So, you know, $80 million, in my mind, is also not an insignificant number. And as to the other question, our power purchase agreement will assure at least 10% of the power flowing over this line will be reserved for New Hampshire customers.
And then the last question on this sheet is, how will it, I assume they mean the project, increase the state's gross domestic product after the project is done?
Yeah, so for, again, we're talking about a $1.7, $1.6 billion infrastructure project. So the effect of that on local businesses up and down the line, whether it's restaurants, hotels, dry cleaners, this will be a very significant opportunity that will allow those companies to certainly be profitable, hopefully, and also continue to grow their business. When you look at the second and third order effects on that, that's what extends the benefit stream. You've created opportunities that are going to hopefully allow these businesses to continue to be successful moving forward. And there's a very detailed analysis as to what that looks like, and it's not purely theoretical. You know, there have been many significant infrastructure projects, including transmission infrastructure projects in New England, that provide a good basis for assessing these effects. We've built several of them ourselves, as have others. So there's a confirmation that these analyses are accurate.
Next question. Is it true that New Hampshire workers are being trained in order to help build Northern Pass?
What this is probably referring to is our apprenticeship program. We were very pleased to announce that program last year in collaboration with the IBEW. We think it's a wonderful way of creating job opportunities for New Hampshire residents who are interested in a highly skilled, high demand profession, which is that of the electrical worker. So we're working jointly with the IBEW to create these opportunities for New Hampshire residents. We are using many of our projects across the state for purposes of providing the on-the-job training portion of that. It's also coupled with classroom training and skills training that the IBEW has delivered. So it's a wonderful training opportunity. You know, we've been pleased that's been so, you know, in high demand from New Hampshire residents. We have no problem bringing folks into it. It's really a career path for many of these folks. You know, when we move into construction on Northern Pass, we intend to use it and expand the apprentice program through the opportunities on Northern Pass and create many more opportunities.
Okay, the next question is along the same lines. The jobs that Northern Pass will create are low wage and very little skills are needed, is what I have been told. Is this true?
No. So as I said, I think these are very highly skilled craft positions. They're in very high demand. You know, the wages that an electrical worker in particular receives, I think, are very competitive. It's reflective of the skill of the craft. You know, we have had no shortage of applicants for these programs. We have no difficulty filling electrical worker programs. So I think these are great opportunities. You know, we're getting widespread interest across the state of New Hampshire in them, and we look forward to continuing that.
The next three questions are all along the same lines. First one is, if there are a significant number of construction workers who will be working on this project along the proposed route, is it typical for the employer to house and feed these workers, or will they be looking for housing and spending money within the communities of the project? And then the next one is, do you have any information on how I can become a line worker?
There you go. There you go. Perfect. So, yes, we do have information on how you can become a line worker. You can speak to Joe Purington here, who's our Vice President of Electric Operations here in New Hampshire. He could talk to you about opportunities within the Eversource family. And also, I know there are members of the IBEW here as well today, so if you truly have an interest, I would say contact either of them, and they could share with you some insights on what it is to be a line worker and where are the opportunities. You know, as to the first question, no, Eversource does not house and feed workers on our projects. However, there will be many local businesses, hotels, restaurants, and otherwise who will. These folks will, in essence, be working on this project for 2 to 3 years, and they're going to need a place to stay, and they're going to need a place to eat, and they're going to need to go to a laundry. And all of this creates the GDP effects that I was referring to earlier. These are literally hundreds of workers who will be in the communities up and down this line, and I think that will have a very significant economic benefit to those communities.
I'm sorry?
Would you like the number?
Oh, sure. For that, yeah.
Just had an opportunity to check the application, and Julia Freyer's testimony is Appendix 43, in which during the four-year construction period, she estimates $130 million in the economy in terms of jobs and induced economic generation. Also in the tax testimony and in the narrative in the application, it explains that over a 20-year period, about $600 million in local property taxes, state property taxes, county property taxes will be generated, and about $80 million in reduced energy costs within the state, and overall about a $3.8 billion economic stimulus in New Hampshire. Thank you.
Julia Freyer is one of our experts with London Economics I was referring to earlier.
Okay, the next question appears to be about tax assessments. Mr. Quinlan and Franklin, you stated that the assessment method to be used by Northern Pass is industry accepted. What does that mean? Who approves this method for the industry To what extent are customers of the industry involved in establishing this method, and what is the name of the methodology?
So what I'm referring to is a industry-accepted methodology, which means it's in wide use nationally and regionally. It basically looks at the value of the investment and then depreciates it over the useful life of the asset. In this case, these transmission assets are referred to as long-lived assets, so they're depreciated over a 40-year life. That's the methodology that's commonly used. It's there's no national governing body to set that, but it's the most common methodology that at least I'm aware of in the industry.
Do you know if it has a name?
No, I don't know if it has a name.
All right, we'll move on to the next question.
But it is a straight line depreciation method if you're looking for an accounting term.
Next question is, and you might want to address the premise of the question as well, considering that New Hampshire gets most of its electricity from the Seabrook Nuclear Power Plant, would the New Hampshire ratepayers be affected if Seabrook entered into an agreement to sell its power elsewhere?
I'm not familiar with Seabrook Nuclear Power Station as to where the output of that facility goes, whether it's used here in New Hampshire or is used and contracted for it in other states. So I really can't speak to that generator's use of the power. It's certainly generated here in the state, but the location of the generation facility is irrelevant for purposes of the use of the power. Seabrook, like any other power plant, injects its power into the regional grid, and the electrons flow throughout the region. It's a question of, contractually, who gets the benefit of the power. I can't speak for Seabrook.
Okay, next question is, does the application from Northern Pass mention passing on the cost of the project to the New Hampshire ratepayer?
Can you repeat that question, please?
Does the application from Northern Pass, I assume they mean the application before the Site Evaluation Committee, mention passing on the cost of the project to the New Hampshire ratepayer?
Could be a trick question. I would say no, because it's not our intention to pass any of the costs associated with this project onto New Hampshire ratepayers. So is anyone else on the project team aware of that? No. So I think the answer is no. As I said earlier, this project is going to be paid for by others. New Hampshire is going to get the $3.8 billion worth of benefits I referred to earlier, yet it's not going to bear the cost of building this transmission facility.
What will be the annual revenue generated when the Northern Pass project is fully online? By that, I mean, what is the revenue to Eversource and or Northern Pass LLC?
Jim, you want to answer that?
Could you repeat that?
Sure. What is the annual revenue that will be generated when Northern Pass is fully online? And by that, the questioner means revenue to both Eversource and or Northern Pass.
I believe when Northern Pass comes online, the revenue requirements that will be paid are nominally $300 million a year. That covers all the debt service, all the operations and maintenance, all the taxes. The actual earnings for Eversource, I believe, are in the $90 million a year range first year, and those would decline steadily as the rate base is amortized over the 40-year life of the project.
Okay. The next few questions deal with the prospect of burying the Northern Pass transmission line. Several Department of Energy alternatives reviewed burial of the transmission lines. Has the cost analysis for complete burial in Deerfield, including our historic center and along our scenic routes, in particular, the Pawtuckaway Mountain Viewshed, been determined? Please provide precise cost analysis to the public if this particular area and others along your, of this particular area and others along your route. I think the question is asking if the burial in the area of Deerfield and the Historic Center and the scenic routes, has the cost of that been determined? And please share it, basically.
No. So we have not done a specific detailed cost estimate around underground construction in Deerfield. You know, we have, however, looked at what the cost of an all-underground route would be, but not a town or region-specific cost estimate.